Let's say your Bible is turned to the letter to the Romans. I'll be reading from chapter 8. I'll be reading verses 31 to 39. Without reverence to God, would you stand as the words read? Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 31. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare his own son, but offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. He's the one who condemns. Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, because of you we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors from them who love us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We were looking at the previous verses in chapter 8 on Wednesday night. We were looking at verses 12 through 30. And several things we looked at there. If you look at verse 12, it starts with, so then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But he's saying, so then is related to, we have been freed from sin. We are not obligated any longer to do what sin demands of us. Christ, through his blood, has freed us from the power of sin. Without Christ living in us, without God's work, we are in bondage to sin. Now, can we be freed from sin on our own effort? No. We cannot. We cannot be freed from sin because it is impossible for man to please God. We need God's help. And God came to free us from the power of sin by our faith in what he has done. He's freed us from sin. Now, has he freed us from the presence of sin and the temptation of sin and the ever-present of sin is still there. All you have to do is cry the road. And you see, people are tempted to cause you to want to sin, especially when they think they're the only person that deserves to be on the road and everybody needs to get out of the way for them. And some people even act like they're playing bumper cars. It's quite interesting. We experienced this driving Thursday up to Alabama and back yesterday. But I would think during a work day, when the worst, actually, yesterday was the worst driving. People just trying, maybe they're remembering the slaloms on the snow steam from the Winter Olympics and they were trying to get in and out of cars. But a lot of people will cause you to want to respond back the old sinful method instead of going person against the Lord. Every now and then you see somebody not driving very well and still has a Jesus bumper sticker or a cross and rear window of the truck. And it's like a police officer would say when he pulls him over. He said, I thought your truck was stolen because I saw your Jesus bumper stickers and then the way you were driving. But we need to remember the influence of sin, the temptation The desire to sin is to live a human free from the power of sin. We are not obligated to follow sin's way anymore. We have been given a different way. Because if we follow the way of sin, it leads to death. But if we follow the way of the Spirit, it leads to life. Not only eternal life, but life here and now. God gives us the resources and power to do what we cannot do on our own. And then Paul goes on to say, we have a new relationship with God because of what he's done. Look at verse 15, chapter 8. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word, when we get the translation. The equivalent is daddy. We who were enemies of God can now call dad, call God our dad. Not just our Heavenly Father, but just a powerful God, but one that has an intimate relationship with us. Abba, Father, we have a new relationship, and we have been adopted as His children. Once we were enemies of God, slaves to sin, but now we move to a new relationship. One, we are God's children. You are a Christian, are a child of the King. Amen? You're a child of the King. Now, our Father, the King, owns everything. He made everything. He can provide everything. And we are heirs to Christ. Our Father, the King, has a place prepared for us. On the news today, I was just seeing the scam that they're trying to get seniors to send their gold to this place, and actually trying to steal the gold from them. Well, God paves the street with gold. That's because God has prepared for us a place of beauty, a place where we are in the presence of God forever. Now, last night, I don't know if you got to see it, and it was a little overcast, but right around sundown, a little after, there were seven planets aligned right along the western horizon. And if you're out on the lake, you can put out a LP. We have a lot of freeze blocks. All we can see is Venus. All this orange, all the planets aligned in celestial majesty. God created the world. As far as the most powerful telescope can see, God's already there at the end. And it says, God holds the expanse of the universe in His hand. And that's what we're going to do. We've got the relationship with God. We've got all the power of God. He loves us so much. He holds everything from His glory to the relationship with God. That's our choices. To bring us back to the relationship. You might remember the story of the prodigal son, where one son asked for his share of the inheritance, go squander it, and then finally he comes to the senses and comes back. And you notice in that story, something interesting. When the father saw one of the sons come back, he remembered. It wasn't. Father waved, the son came and knelt at his feet. He ran to the son of the Lord. That's the kind of love that Father gave. Now we have a hope. Paul says, hope in what you see is not really hope. You're facing all kind of trouble, all kind of distress on this planet. And there's something central there. Friday, when I was in the Lord's service with my sister, she had been suffering from cancer. The last week of her life, she was in great pain. And God said, I have a way to heal. It's not a sorrow I have for my sister, as I know that she is. If there's any sorrow, it's for us that are left behind. Like when you have a loved one that goes on some wonderful vacation to all these beautiful places, you're the ones that's the work. You're staying on working. They got it made. My sister's got it made. I'm sure he's in a place with me. I'm not sorry. Embraced by our relatives and one of the next. That's the whole thing about our Christian life. Also, we have this problem. We have everything great to look forward to. There's nothing we're going to want to come back for. And then Paul, in our passage that we looked at on Wednesday, talking about our relationship with God. Look at verse 29. For those he foreknew, now foreknew means God knows ahead of time what decision we're going to make. Those that he knew were going to accept his offer of forgiveness, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. God is going to work in the lives of Christians to make them more Christ-like. That's, if you're not the things of word, progressive sanctification. We were saved at the moment we accepted God's forgiveness of our sin. We are being saved as God works in us to conform us to the image of the Son. And we will be saved when we get glorified. I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. And those he foreknew, he also predestined to conform to the image of the Son, that if we might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. He has called us. We are called Christians. And you know what Christian is? Holy Christ. We're like some children have. Oh, you look just like your father. And that's it. And we should be looking just like your father. And those he called, he has also justified, just as if we had never sinned. And those he justified, he also glorified. We have no fear that we are stuck in the body of the enemy. We are, I heard one person talking about it in an instant, statement said, sometimes we think we're a body with a soul. We're actually a soul with a body. What really matters with us is our soul. And we have a body that's subject to decay, aches and pains right now. But we're getting a new body that's not subject to those. Paul even describes it, saying, the body I live in right now is my skin. But I'm getting a new mansion. God. And that leads us into seven questions. Paul asked seven questions that we need to think about in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember, God's our Father. We've been intimately talking about our Father. A lot of people don't want to be in a relationship because they choose to be angry. But we So, in verse 31, what then are we to say about these things? So what should we say if we're God's child? What should we say if we've been free from sin? What should we say if we've been justified? What should we say if we're so loved by God that we can call Him? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Too often, though. What else is to God? That's not enough. Or we don't say anything at all. What should we say in light of this truth? That God loves us so much that He's changed our eternity, separated from Him, to eternity with Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. That should be our constant attitude. Too often we look at the problems around us and don't focus on what's coming. Our problems are just temporary. I'm not still on the road dealing with those people weaving in and out of traffic. I like to look at the things around traffic. And if you're driving it, just a little bit hard to stay in your lane for less than you will. But I need to keep my eyes on the road when I'm driving. I don't like driving anymore. I like to drive in the city. That's okay. Well, I'm not still on the road. I remember a story dating back to the days after Theodore Roosevelt was president of the United States. He would go on hunting trips over to Africa. And at that time, they didn't have planes to fly. So he would come in on his cruise ship and come to port. And there was a couple that had been lifelong missionaries overseas. And they see all the people waiting for Theodore Roosevelt to come back from his country. And the husband is looking for us. Says to his wife and all the people, here to see the former president who just went and shot some big game in Africa. And there's nobody here for us to welcome us. And his wife, in her wisdom, said, but we're not home yet. We're not home yet. Home is coming. We're still on that trip. Sometimes it seems like a very slow ship is taking us to home. We were on that slow ship and home. Have an opportunity to tell all the other passengers that they can go home with us. So sometimes we look pretty slow. And God hasn't fixed everything how we think He should fix it. Just remember, God's going to be your husband and you're going to be helping people. He can forgive you. So what should we say about all these things? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then Paul asked another question. If God is for us, who is against us? Remember, God created everything. He spoke, and it happened. God holds the universe in His hand. If that's who's for us, is there any power more powerful than God? No. And God's for us. Look at me against it. The Satan's there, everyone. Ah. Look at them. They're not doing right. But is Satan more powerful than God? God and Satan are not two equal powerful gods. Satan is a created being. He's not God. He cannot do anything without God's permission. Read the book of Job. When all the angels came before God, to check in. Satan right there in line, waiting in line. I mentioned the military. In the military, and it's hurry up and wait. Get in this line and hurry up and wait. Satan's in line to report to God. And he has to get permission from God to do anything that affects the chosen. And then he's got to report in how he did. He has to continue to report in God is in charge. So who could be against us? No one. It matters. God's for us. If God did not spare his son, would he not also give us everything? Is God able to give us everything? Yes. Will he? Yes. That includes everything you and I. Here on planet Earth and life eternal. What did he say about these things? Amen. Hallelujah. If God's for us, who could be against us? No one. As a new power to change anything. If God did not spare his son, he would grant us everything. And who could bring an accusation against God's elect? Well, Satan can. But an accusation doesn't mean that the one that justified is going to be restored. Jesus is the one who justifies us. God is the judge. In a court of law, the judge makes the final rule. And will the prosecuting attorney be able to make the final rule? No. And if the judge says you are innocent, it doesn't matter what the prosecutor says. And it is God who justifies us. If you are a Christian, you are already justified by the blood of Jesus. You are declared innocent, even though you're guilty. Who can change God's word? He is the Supreme Court of the universe. You can't appeal his decision. And God said they're innocent. So what should we say to that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are declared innocent. Jesus also intercedes for us. If Jesus, who is God, intercedes for us, what can separate us from God? Is there anything that can snatch us out of God's hands? No. But interesting, we are snatched out of Satan's hand. Nothing can snatch us out of God's hand. Can anything separate us from God's love? Can affliction? Can pains, aches, can anything physical separate us from God? Can trouble we face separate us from God? No. Can distress separate us from God? No. Can persecution separate us from God? No. Can famine, not having enough to eat, separate us from God? No. Can not having enough clothes separate us from God? No. Can being in danger separate us from God? No. Can actually being physically harmed separate us from God? No. Nothing can separate us from God. Because in Christ, we are more than conquerors. A conqueror might face injury, harshness, success and still with the Lord. But we are at war in Christ. And Paul says, I am persuaded. I'm convinced nothing's going to change my mind. Now, I've given you this place before. About when I was in Illinois, I raced motorcycles on the ice for a little while. And actually, it was a three-wheeler before they said three-wheelers are too dangerous. But one of the people I worked with had access to the equipment that you could spray metal onto other metal. And he sprayed aluminum onto the steel buffer on the motorcycle. It keeps it from rusting. I just finished a heat, pulled the three-wheeler up, and something like that. You got ice all over your buffer. It's not ice. It's spray aluminum. No, it's not as ice. You reach out and grab some muffler. He is convinced now that it was spray aluminum. It wasn't ice. He went from being told to being fully convinced. Paul is fully convinced. If we went out and grabbed something hot, we're not going to go grab it again. Because we know the truth. Paul says, I am convinced nothing's going to change that. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. If I die, all that means is I'm going through a door to be with God. And that can separate me from God. God's on both sides of that door. Can life, all the problems I face here in life, can that separate me from God? No, God's here too. Can angels separate you from God? They can't. And they wouldn't if they could. Demons, they want to separate you from God. But they can't. So angels, demons, life and death, we're not time. Can what we're experiencing right now separate us from God? No. Can what's going to happen in the future separate us from God? No. Is there any power that can separate us from God? No. Can the furthest star, if God delays and we have astronauts finally make it back to the moon or further, and then Christ comes back, are they out of luck? Because they have to be on the moon. No. If they're on Mars, that's not out of God's reach. If they're on Alpha Centauri, the closest, one of the closest stars, if they're anywhere in the universe, you're not separated from God. If you go to the bottom of the Mariana's Trench, you're not separated from God. Height and depth cannot separate you from God, nor any created thing. And everything short of God is created. Angels and demons are created, and we're created. All animals, all the universe is created. And God is not going to separate us from Himself. Paul said, I am persuaded. I am convinced. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen? There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Amen? There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So when we go around life, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. He's there in everything, every situation, every time. That's why that passage from Genesis says, and we know all things. Because there is nothing that can separate us from God. Nothing can separate us from His love. So, no matter what happens, we're not going to be separated from the love of God. Does that mean we're not going to feel separated from love? No, we're going to feel lots of things. Let that make it true. The truth is, there's nothing that separates us from love. We need to go share that love. There is nothing that separates us from love. There's also nothing that separates us from love. But if we have to make God justify us, so when you start to feel down, when things look bad, just remember, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. That's the truth. And you focus on the truth. Lord, thank you for this kind of people. Thank you that there is nothing that can separate us from your love. Lord, let us share with others your love that wants to bring all to repentance and relationship with you. There's plenty of room. Let us share with others all in your love and be in the position that nothing separates us from.